Our scripture reading that we're going to get to in just a moment, what we have is what is known as the parable of the lost coin. And what it is Jesus is trying to put into words what cannot be put into words, the ineffable. Trying to explain something that you feel, that you experience, that you know, but that is ethereal, what the kingdom of heaven is like. And remembering that God is love, we might say that he's describing what being completely absorbed in love is like. Of being spiritually reawakened and renewed, saved is what some people say. To have been lost and then to have been found by love and infused with love. So why do I share this parable today? I think it almost goes without saying. In short, you know, when I received that life-changing news for me about my health in a good way last Tuesday, this is what it was like, right? And this is what came to mind. Because this too big for words kind of experience is so vast and just too hard to describe in one way. When Jesus talks about it in terms of the kingdom of heaven and what the experience of being infused with God is like, he gives many different descriptions, trying to get at it from different angles. And some of these angles are shared before this parable and some after, including afterwards. There's the parable that we know of the prodigal son, lost but found. And in every one of these, the purpose is the same. And that is, he's trying to wake us up. He's trying to wake us up. Why? Purely for our own benefit. He's not getting anything out of it. He's trying to wake us up, saying, you know what, there's something more. I know you know what you know, but there's something more than what you're experiencing. And how do you know unless you try it? I think about, you know, when you are, let's say you're out to dinner, or maybe you're a fabulous chef, or you're with somebody or whatever, and you try some food, something that just knocks your socks off and just absolutely blows you away, and you go, oh my God, this is unbelievable, right? And maybe a friend is sitting right there, and you go, you have got to try this. Just take a little bite. Just something. You are not going to believe this. And they, right? And you already know what's going to happen. And they go, nah, I don't think, right? You know, it's like, I don't know. It just, you know, just, it doesn't look familiar, right? And like, I might not be that. That's kind of out of my comfort zone. And you go, exactly, that's the point. That's the point. You know what you know. You don't know what you don't know. Reach out. Experience it. But it drives you crazy, though, right? That's Jesus. That's exactly Jesus. And he's like the parent. He's like the parent on, you know, on a sparkling, you take a day like today, right? Sparkling spring day. Unbelievable. And there's the kid down in the basement in the stale air, you know, in the dark, like with a video game or something. And he's saying, you know, it's a spectacular day. Get out of the basement. You know, what's out there is amazing. You won't believe it. Check it out. But here's the thing. The kid is us. We're the ones in the basement. And the basement is our habitual thought patterns, our lifestyle, the things that we are accustomed to that's cozy for us. The video games is all of our routines that we know, that we go back to. But over time, they put our soul to sleep. And having gone through this experience myself, I know, and you know, because you have gone through these experiences, that when you have bad news, and when you think you lost it, whether it's health news, whether it's an accident, but then you get the good news. You've got this new life. You wake up and you realize it's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful life. And so here it is in Luke, where Jesus says, you know, what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, search carefully until she finds it, and when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, celebrate with me. Oh my God, I found the coin that I thought that I had lost. May God bless us that we may receive, God, your incredible gift of abundant life. What a feeling. What an experience. You know, now you may think, you know, you hear coin, lost coin, right? That's not such a big deal. My God, we have more coins than we know what to do with. They're like they weigh us down in our pocket. We try to give them away because we have so much. Nickels, quarters, who needs it? We don't even notice. Last time I saw my dad, he gave me this coin. And I think about, you know, the lost coin. Now, we don't have much as a family. But at 92, he knows what's coming, and he's starting to share some things, and that gives him great joy. And he gave this to me, and it's a 1 ounce gold coin. It's just a coin. He said, I'd like you to have this. Now, as of last Friday, it was worth $1,215. Saturday was $1,235. $0.21. And obviously, it's not the financial value of the coin. It's that, you know, this meant something to him, and it gave him joy to give it to me. And so it means something to me. I hold the coin. I'm not thinking about $1,200. I'm thinking about my dad, right? And believe me, I'm trying not to lose this. That would be bad, right? Any of you ever lost an engagement ring? Just out of curiosity. Or a wedding band, whatever. Fascinating. How the heck do you lose the thing? It's on your finger. But right? But look at the hands. Now, have you found, and just out of curiosity, have any of you lost it and then you find it? Right? Oh my gosh, you know exactly. So 2 years ago for our 25th anniversary, I gave Laura a wedding band, and it has like four little diamond chips and four little sapphire chips, and then one in the middle is a bigger one, and the biggest one's about like the third of the size of a BB, right? So I can say that because I'm the one who bought it. But a year ago, she looked down. She said, oh, my gosh, you know, the big one. Big to me. It's big to me. But the big one, she looks down and it's, she says, "Oh, it's gone." And we were down in the kitchen and like, "Oh, geez, you know, so how are you going to, the sapphire, right? So how are you going to find, how are you going to find a, like an almost black little teeny chip of a thing where who knows when that happened, right? So, you know, but you look. Of course you look. And what are the chances you're going to find? It's nothing, right? But you look anyway, and you go through and all the floors and, you know, turning over. We have all the kids and everybody's, you know, turning over every cushion around and stuff. And all of a sudden, it was really interesting because I stopped. And for some reason, I have no idea why, I stopped. And it was like I was listening to something or whatever. And I stopped, and I don't even know what was happening. But I went upstairs, second floor, hallway, hardwood floors. And I stopped in front of the stairs going up to the third floor for some reason. And I laid down on the floor. And what's there in a crack about a foot in front of me is the little teeny chip, like, right in front, and got some tweezers and pulled it out. Rejoicing, just, you know, just crazy stuff, don't know why. And you have, I know that in your life you have these stories, right? We know what it's like, sick child, better, crisis, solution, ecstatic, elation, euphoria. I have a spiritual teacher who you all know. I've referred to him. Somebody who's made a big impact on my life, Ram Dass. You know, he's been a teacher of mine for like 40 years. Scotty worked for him two different times. He says, the quieter you become, the more you hear. Anybody of you remember Paul Harvey? Right? Paul Harvey. He had a radio show. And he would, I think it was the beginning of the show, where he would say, a great voice, you know, go, "And now, right? The rest, right? The rest of the story. And now, the rest of the story." So now the rest of the story. So last week, I had talked about what was happening with a question mark in real time, and I said, you know, I don't know, and it was scary. You know, and I shared it with you in real time. Because in our culture, where we do a number of things like in TV time, we're kind of accustomed to beginning, plot, middle, end, half an hour, wrap up, neat as a pin, boom, done. But to share what's going on sometimes at the end and go, well, you know, this is it, it's too neat. We don't live in TV time. We live in real time. We live with those questions that hang on our head. We live when we, at those times where we don't know which way to turn. We don't know what to do. You know, you get a call from the doctor. They say, you know, we found something. You need to call specialists and so forth, which I explained, you know. You've experienced being in limbo with children's health, future, marriage, finances. Sometimes that real time can go on, not for a week or 2 weeks, it can go on for a month, it can go on for a year, it can go on several years. You don't know which way it's going to go. And your mind races. And as I was sharing, you know, your mind races. You go to dark places. I can't tell you how many conversations I had with people in this last week who said, yeah, I know exactly. It happened to me. You know, I just, you know, go to all these bad, terrible places. I say, you know, you can't avoid that. But there are better ways to deal with that than others. There are spiritual tools, which I shared, how to minimize the anxiety, worry, and crazy. And you picked up on that terrible feeling. And I so appreciate your prayers. Talk about gratitude. But it turned out the best possible scenario. And when Laura and I left that doctor's office, what euphoria, overwhelming. Lost coin found. And it was lost life, maybe, found. And just, you know, at that time when you're given that news, just as my mind raced about all the possible terrible things that, you know, that I didn't know, now I was saved, given new life. Incredible gratitude. And not wanting to trivialize that life and death moment. Not wanting to blow it off and going, wow, that was crazy. That was awesome. You know, what do you want to do now? Because if it would have turned the other way, trivialize it like that. And so how to hang on to, how to savor that, how to honor that, what to do with that, which we talk about in a few moments. Because at the very same time, where that was the one side of the coin, there was the other side of the coin. At the very same time, of elation, gratitude, relief, I was also aware of, and I bet in some of your minds you are already going there, how about the people who go in the doctor's office and who don't get the relief and who don't get the good news and who get the exact opposite? And not just for the moment, but that is now the scenario of the rest of their lives. Lost coin found, that's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin, unbelievable compassion and empathy. And honestly, I've got to say, this kind of sad love. Maybe that's not the right word for it, but for the people who get the worst news. And it's all right there. It's all happening at once. Right? And I think that being awake, being spiritually awake, is living with all of that. Right? It's living with all of that at once. Euphoria, sorrow, empathy, same time. Because friends, dear friends, people who I love dearly have had those different outcomes and have those different outcomes. And so you can't just walk away scot-free, you know. When you think you have bad news and when you do have bad news, you look at life differently. You look at everything that you have. And maybe it's stuff that you just didn't realize you had before. And life looks differently. You think you have this endless supply of coins, and then all of a sudden that runs out. Somebody just scoops away almost all of it. And you start thinking about, how am I going to say goodbye? What am I going to do with the time that I do have? And then you hear, nope, not yet. I get to live for another day. And some get other. And life, as we know, is filled with these peaks and with these valleys that are sometimes trough and sometimes gutter. And both sides of the coin at once, right? A new life, mother-in-law stroke and die, and we ride those waves. And some do that better than others. We know that. We know that. We may glide, you know. Some may glide, some flounder. Think about riding the waves, moving through it. Think about sculling, right? Rowing all people in a boat. Some flounder. Some don't do so well. Others work at it. They work hard at it. They study it. They follow a discipline. They train. They get a coach. They listen to the coach. And they're actually teachable. They actually listen to what the coach says, and then they do something different depending on what the coach says. They dedicate. And some become gold medalists. It's a story I saw last week. Friend of Bob Jones sent it to me, and then Bob sent it to me. And it's an excerpt from a book that's called The Boys in the Boat. 9 Americans and their epic quest for gold at the 1936 Berlin Olympics. And the passage says this. It says, it's hard to make that boat go as fast as you want it to go. The enemy, of course, he says, is the resistance of the water. To which I would add, the enemy is also the body, your muscles, your mind, time itself, your desire for ease and comfort, your battle with inertia, your questioning the need for discipline and sacrifice, questioning it's like, why am I working so hard while other people are playing? Why am I trying time and time again and failing and trying again and failing and trying again? And in any event, the author says, the enemy, of course, is the resistance of the water, as you have to displace the amount of water equal to the weight of the people and the equipment and the boat. But that very water that you're fighting against is also, at the very same time, the very thing that supports you. So you find that very enemy that resists your will and your desire and that which frustrates you and makes your life hard is your friend. He says, so it is with life. The very problems that you overcome also support you and make you stronger in overcoming them. So it is with life. We have so many gifts. We have so many coins. It's hard to value them sometimes until we may think we're going to lose them all. Up until about 10 months ago, you all know that I was a big runner. Had a hip operation, don't run anymore. but, you know, I would run when I was a runner, did marathons and stuff, and I would run at a certain pace. And I can't tell you how many times I was out there running and going like, oh, man, like, you know, at this, you know, 8:45 pace, whatever it should be, you know, like an 8:40 pace. Like, oh, you know, come back discouraged. It's like, oh, my God, I just want to run. Forget the pace now, right? You lose it and you go, what a gift to just run. I know my dad, you know, 92, he's like, what a gift it would be to just walk. What does it like walk to dinner? How about dress myself? How about be able to eat and feed myself? Cut my own food, you know? Lost coin, found coin. So many coins, we don't even know what to do with them. How do you stay fresh? The gliding, you know, gliding, when we see people, gliding looks easy. But there's a lot more to it. A lot more to how do you value that coin before you lose it? And that's the training, right? Staying fresh, the discipline of gliding, the coaching, the work, the exercise, being coachable, daily recommitment, worship, being here. Hearing the message, refreshing, scripture, prayer, breathing, service. You know, I love a prayer myself of just, you know, God, just make, you know, make me fresh, make me new. open my eyes, open my heart, help me with gratitude, help me to love, so I don't have to lose before I find. So we have, so we've got two sides of the coin, right? Every coin has two sides. But the reality is they have three sides. one side, and then there's the third side. I have so much, God. You know, if we're in a state where we have so much, God, then help me with my compassion in giving to others. Help me do something with that gratitude, with that joy, with people who don't have so much. So final story, recommend this process. You know, one of the things Jesus said was lilies in the field. He said, consider the lilies in the field. Consider the birds of the air. So the other morning, Laura's in Maine, and after this news and everything, I had a zillion things to do. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to have my morning tea, and I'm just going to go sit in the back deck and look at the backyard. That I know is a luxury. And it was a beautiful day. And I was thinking about, considering the birds of the air and so forth. And I thought, instead of reading the paper, instead of returning emails that I had many to return, maybe yours was one that I didn't return. I don't know. I'm sorry. But I thought, instead of that, instead of, going with that addiction, instead of texting, friends and so forth, I thought, I'm gonna put that down. And I'm going to consider the birds of the air. I'm going to look at the birds for a while. The robins, the squirrels playing in the trees, the beautiful blue sky, the clouds, the grass, the feeling the sun's warmth, hearing nature around me, looking at all this, thinking, I've got my eyesight. I haven't lost that. Sight, to be able to walk to get there, to be able to be in whatever condition I am. I've got my deficiencies and so forth. Just gratitude for this day. Don't have to almost lose to appreciate it. Whatever limitations I have, doesn't have to be perfect. Doesn't have to be the ideal temperature. Doesn't have to be the ideal time of the season. To feel blessed, gratitude, compassion, empathy. And how to express my gratitude, third side of the coin, is giving back. Giving back. Service. In the midst of the time when my mind was in that time of unknowing, and your mind goes to what kind of a treatment am I going to have? Am I going to do that? Am I going to do chemotherapy? What kind of a limited life am I going to have? How am I going to say goodbye? Am I going to be a good person dying? Many and so many prayers from you, and so many prayers that I was saying, doing a lot of talking to God and listening. At one point, I said to God, and I hope this was not bargaining, I don't know, but I said, look, God, I don't know which way this is going to go, but but I feel like I think I'd be a lot more help if I was healthy, I'm going to help either way, but I may be able to do better if I'm healthy. Give me a few more years, right? I happily rededicate my life to God as such a beautiful practice to do that. Saying, God, I'm going to give you my life, whatever I can do. Not a bargain, but as a thanks. if you have a good thing, you want to share it. Giving back, I believe, completes the circle. I have a new life. I give myself to you. May I make your gift, God, of every day that I have, a worthy gift by the way that I receive it and celebrate it and give it. Amen.
Dear Lord, it is another beautiful day in your neighborhood, and we thank you so much for it. It is spring in all of its glory, the birds, the bees, and the blossoming trees. We thank you for bringing us into your house once again. Every time we walk through those broad, welcoming doors, we find comfort and sanctuary. We find nourishment for our souls, and we have the opportunity to share your wisdom through Paul's words. We also hear the majesty in the music of the choir, and we get to raise our voices in praise every time we sing one of our hymns. While we treasure the comfort that we find every Sunday among the warm, familiar faces that we see in the congregation, we may sometimes find that in these days particularly, sanctuary might be a stronger word than comfort. We may sometimes feel that it's not too nice out there. We're too often overwhelmed and cowed by the rising cacophony of voices of conflict and the images of violence that we see around the world. We see those suffering souls in the migration patterns coming in through Turkey and Greece and Europe and up through Macedonia, looking for shelter for the bare necessities of life. Personally and professionally, we're overwhelmed sometimes by the sheer number of choices that we have to make, or at least we feel that we have to make, personally and professionally, and the limited amount of time that we have to make sound decisions. Sometimes we feel that we have to avoid the consequences of life just to get to making a yes or a no. We are sometimes deafened by voices screaming over the din, trying to be heard, demanding to be paid immediate attention to. We read in the newspaper that suicide rates among the old and the young are rising to levels never seen before. And there's a part of us deep in our hearts, we wonder why. What is there about life that is such a terrible burden that we have to end it? The things that we'll miss, a baby's cry, a baby's smile, another day like today. We sometimes think that civility may be dead or somebody's holding it hostage. People just aren't polite anymore. We're bombarded by ideas that the future of our very earth may be in jeopardy. And then we read that we may not really care. Winning is all. But the question is, what about love? Where's love? What's happened to it? There's so much for us to pray for, the health and well-being of our families and friend, and we have this opportunity to come into this house and grieve our losses. So we come here to seek comfort and sanctuary and guidance for the days and weeks ahead. But the bottom line, Lord, is that we know that the answers that we seek have been, are, and will be here. This is where we find them. We're reminded of that passage from John 14:27 that says, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives." And this is so powerful. "Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." If we carry that outside, Lord, we're strengthened, we're equipped. Lord, help us remember that we have to walk through those doors on the way out. It's not just enough to come in. And help us to remember that all of us are better served when we take the lessons that we have learned inside this wonderful building and practice them outside in our outside lives, in the community, not only with our friends and our family, but everyone that we touch. It's so wonderful to be here, Lord. There's so much to pray for. But you have promised us peace, and you have told us not to worry. And we'll take your word for it. Amen.